And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, respected member of the council, who also himself was looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. Summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. Joseph bought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud, and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. He rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go out and anoint him. Very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw the stone that had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." The first scripture, or the Old Testament reading for today, is found in the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 25th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 6. "On this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine, well-refined. He will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, 'Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation.'" Our epistle lesson is taken from Paul's great chapter on the resurrection, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, and worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them. Though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Just so she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, to the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there. But he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in. And he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord, and that he has said these things to her." Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. But what if he wasn't? That's what we were just singing a few moments ago. The refrain, "Had Christ who once was slain not burst his 3-day prison, what would that mean?" It's probably based on the verses just following our epistle lesson for today from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. And those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied." Indeed. If Christ is not raised, well, what of our life in this world? You know, even though we've been through a rough year, for most of history, life has really been the pits. Let me explain. For instance, if you lived in the Soviet Union during, especially the 30s, the 40s, the early 50s, when Joseph Stalin was still reigning, your life pretty much meant nothing. Now, estimates vary a little bit as to how many people he had executed or not executed, but just shipped off to Siberia to die a slow death. Some put it in the few millions, others as much as 20 million. Jews and Christians were particularly despised and persecuted. And yet, you know, he lived to, at that time period, a pretty ripe old age. He got to 74. And he went to bed one night, probably had a stroke, and died the next day. But as he was going to bed, he said goodbye to a bunch of friends that he was conversing with. Is there any justice in the world for a man so cruel, so inhuman, so anti-God? If for this life only we have hope in Christ, the answer is there is no justice. And really, if you look down through history, that scenario has been repeated thousands of times in thousands of places. Yeah, it's been kind of a rough year for us, but you know, overall, we are extraordinarily blessed. You know, the average lifespan, even throughout this COVID thing in the United States, is somewhere around 79 years. Even the Bible, you were considered to be extraordinarily blessed if you made it to 70 or even 80. Not sure how many 80-plus-year-olds we have in our congregation, but I know it's more than a few. But you know, for most of world history, that's not been the case. Up until about the 1900s, the average lifespan of a human being was 36 years. And prior to that, during the Middle Ages, it was more like 31. And if you did survive childhood, your chances of making, let's say, 50 years old was about 50-50. How many of you are over 50 here today? For most of history, you wouldn't be here. And then if you go even further back in history, they estimate that around the time of Christ and earlier, the average lifespan was around 26 years of age. I was just getting out of school and just starting my career around that age. It was a little earlier, but life was just getting going. Family was just getting going. You know, for most of history, life really has stunk. Sometimes even today, life stinks. Am I making you feel depressed? Raise your hand if you're starting to feel depressed by this point in time. To be with someone who spent 30, 40, 50 years loving a spouse, to watch that spouse depart this life, it would be really depressing to say to them, "That's it, you're never going to see him again." Been in that situation many times during the years of my ministry. But thank God I've never had to say that. Christ is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
We have hope. I was with a family that had just taken through adult confirmation. While we were going through instruction, they had their little infant son along with them. And not long after I was with them, and having baptized this child, one day I got a phone call. The child was at the babysitter's. Just didn't wake up from his nap. Oh, well. No. We had hope. Say to that grieving mother, "Your son lives." Because Jesus lives. I can say to those people who have been together for 20, 30, 40, 50, sometimes 60 years, your spouse lives. And you're going to see them again. What if it were not so? What if there never was justice? Because ultimately, if Christ is not raised from the dead, it's often the case. The evil get away with their sins. And those who at least measured by worldly standards are good often are persecuted, hated, despised. What if Christ had not been raised from the dead? There never would be justice. But as Paul stated in our epistle lesson for today, "For I delivered to you as first importance what I also received. Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scripture. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." Justice does exist because there is a just God. But he's also a merciful God. Sins must be paid for. In his mercy, Christ, God sent forth his only Son. And in the horror of his death, when the world hated him, when he was suffering bodily from the cruel whippings, the nails driven into his hands and feet, when in that mystery of ages, and I know I call it that a lot, God the Father turns his back on his own Son. And Jesus lets out that mournful cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" that moment when the Son of God was dying, justice was being served along with mercy for those who actually deserved what our Lord Jesus Christ endured. And for all those who do turn to God and ask that Jesus Christ be our payment for our sins, we can be assured that when we stand before God, we will not have to stand before Him in fear for what we have done in our lives. The many times we have ignored the needs of others. For the many times that we've been cruel. For the many times when we've been filled with anger, even hatred. Because Christ was raised from the dead when we stand before God, our Heavenly Father. We shall stand there with Christ at our side. And if God asks, has proper justice been served? His answer will be yes. I have paid for those sins. And for those who do not know Jesus Christ, who know of Him but believe not in what He accomplished for us, when Christ comes again, justice will be served. Those who do not have Jesus as the payment for their sins shall pay for their sins themselves for all eternity. Christ has been raised from the dead. And mankind's hope for justice will one day come to pass. Christ has been raised from the dead. And our hope that death can be conquered will come to pass. Christ has been raised from the dead. And the burden of the sins that we have committed throughout our own lives, guilt rests upon our shoulders, has been lifted. And when someone we dearly love in Christ is taken from our midst, either young or old, though we can grieve for a while because we do have to be separated, we can also rejoice in Christ because He is raised from the dead. We can be joined back together in a life where there are no more tears, sorrow, no more suffering, no more pain, no more injustice. Those things will be gone, but there will be joy, and there will be love, and there will be celebration, and there will be victory forever and ever for those who put their trust in Christ. Because Christ is risen. Alleluia. Amen.